Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello, and welcome to Digest This. I'm Dr. Liz Cruz, and I have Tina Nunziato sitting right here by my side. Thank you so much for joining us, for taking time out of your busy schedules to hang out with us and listen to this podcast. We want you to know that that really means a lot to us.
Yes, and we want to apologize for not putting out two podcasts a week last couple weeks.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, our lives are normally insane, but they have been really insane these last couple weeks as we move into the holidays
here.
They have.
In a good way.
It's
been an insanity.
Yeah.
Craziness of the holidays. And we prefer
not to podcast while we're half asleep.
Yes. So please bear with us. But thank you for your patience. Thank you for joining us again. And if you're a first-time listener, we have over 200 podcasts sitting in our little podcast library. So please go back and check out some of our older podcasts. The information is still valid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we thought that we would dedicate this podcast to Grandpa. Tina's grandfather, Robert Lindell, just died on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless him.
95 years old.
Yeah. Strong man. Amazing man.
He was basically just waiting for the Cubs to win the World Series.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. He was basically waiting for that. And as soon as that happened, what else is there to live for?
He was done.
I mean, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about that process. Mm-hmm. Because it was definitely a brand new experience for our children, our younger children, our 10-year-old and our 7-year-old twins who have, I don't think, ever experienced
They really don't have anyone.
Death.
No.
They, yeah. They, I mean, they or they said, haven't been through, you know, through, they haven't had anyone. We haven't had anyone in our lives during their years that they've known.
Right. That they're close to
that's died. So this was a very brand new experience for
them.
That's right. So just to rewind a little bit, Grandpa had a stroke about 12 days before he died.
Right.
12 to 14 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, 12 to 14 days before he died.
Right.
And
I had just seen him the day before.
Yeah.
That was weird. Yeah, like we went and had dinner with him. And, you know, we were seeing him once a week, pretty much for the last 2 years, three years. And, you know, he was himself, you know, his ornery self. You know, he's telling the kids what to do and how to eat and everything. And, you know, we gave him a hug when we left, told him we'd see him next week. And then we get the call the next day that he had fallen. And he fell probably because he had the stroke. We don't know. But then apparently he was okay and he, like, went down to eat. And somebody in the cafeteria realized he wasn't himself.
Hmm.
And so that's when they called and said, you know, something's not right. He's slurring his words and all these things. So by the time the paramedics got there, he pretty much, I guess, lost his whole left side at that point.
Mm-hmm. Including his ability to swallow.
Right.
I mean, it just affects all of those muscles on the left side of the body.
Right. And he was conscious. I mean,
he was.
When we went to see him in the emergency room that night, he, you know, the first thing I said to him was, "What the hell, Robert?" Because that's his favorite phrase, is "What the hell?" And he's like, "Yeah, right. What the hell?" In a slurred way, you know, he said that. So he was himself. You know, you could tell he had his wits about him. But that it was frustrating for him because he couldn't move the left side of his body, you know. And it just kind of progressively, you know, they admitted him and with the intent to see if they could get him to swallow, right, over the course of the next couple of days. They did a lot of swallow tests with him. I don't know if it was just that he didn't like the applesauce that they were wanting to give him or what, but he wasn't swallowing. I don't know if he refused to swallow it or what, but he kept begging for water. We couldn't give him anything. We couldn't give him ice chips or anything because they were afraid he was going to aspirate, you know. So it was that whole thing of watching him, you know, be frustrated with not being able to take anything by mouth.
Right.
And, you know, just that coming to that conclusion that he wasn't going to be able to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way they were going to be able to feed him, because you can only stay on an IV for so long,
right?
To get the nourishment that the body needs. And coming to that conclusion a few days later that he was going to need a feeding tube.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if they were going to be able to feed him appropriately. And he, it was very much in his will that he did not want a feeding tube. And he was with it enough, you know, at that point for us to have that conversation with him and say, Grandpa, this is what's happening. Do you want a feeding tube? And he shook his head. No, I do not want a feeding tube.
He knew.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he knew that it was going to be difficult for him to recover from the stroke. And I think that, you know, he'd been telling me for years, why am I still here? And
right. Cause you know, I know that you mentioned recently that he had been saying that quite a bit, you know, and just saying,
why am I still living?
I'm done. There's nothing else.
I should have died 10 years ago. Why does God make people live this long? Like, oh, you know.
Well, you know, he was fairly healthy.
He was,
He was, I mean, he had a pacemaker.
Yeah, that was it.
But as far as
not
I know,
on,
right?
Not on a lot of medicines.
He was a very strong man.
Yeah. And they think that he had the stroke because he had an irregular heartbeat.
So he threw a clot. Mm-hmm. And when he was actually in the emergency room, they did give him a medicine. It's a thrombolytic, and basically it's a very, very potent medicine that helps to break up clot.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have to give it to them within a certain window. You have a window of opportunity to give that medicine. So they gave him that in hopes that maybe that would
reverse some
It would reverse, that he would maybe gain some of his strength and and his speech by the clot being broken up by the medicine.
Right.
But yeah, this he, you know, I'm amazed by how strong of a man he was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he did have problems with his strength and getting up. I mean,
he lost a lot of his core muscles.
He did. He had a lot of difficulty, you know, just with basic movements of getting up, but he got up, you know, and he had a walker, and I mean, he was very strong.
In his mind, he was still 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, he was so sharp.
Yeah.
He was so sharp.
Yeah.
But so anyways, so he decided, he made the decision for himself that he didn't want the feeding tube.
The family, you know, because he's got tons of grandchildren and great-grandchildren and, of course, his children. And, you know, we're all there. I mean, a lot of his children and grandchildren flew in. We're all by his side, all 50 of us hovering around him like, you know, swarms. And, you know, we're all sitting around going, well, should we do the feeding tube? Should we not do the feeding tube? And, you know, I'm looking around going, shouldn't this be Grandpa's choice? Like, I know we all know what he's going to choose, you know, but it's his life, you know, it should be his choice. And so when he decided no feeding tube, you know, of course, everyone's all upset. And, you know, I told my dad to explain to him what was going to happen because, you know, he can only hear my dad. He can only hear voices.
Right.
You know, he has a hard time hearing. So my dad explained to him, you know, look, Dad, if you don't do this, you know, you're not going to be able to get food and you're going to slowly waste away. And he shook his head yes, like that's what he wanted, you know. So then began the process, right? So that's kind of what we wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Because it was a learning experience for me too, to kind of watch him go through that. And it's funny because, and I might get emotional, but watching him go through that helped me realize how important it is to do things now and how what we're teaching is so important for people, because you watch the body break down and you realize that our body's breaking down every day.
Right.
Right. Right. But there are certain things we can do to build it back up. And so it was just a testament, I think, to what we're teaching.
Yeah, right? It definitely, definitely. I mean, because basically, what we watched was a process of the body being starved, okay, being starved of any nourishment, you know. I mean, I'm not even talking about something that's healthy versus not healthy.
Right.
I'm just talking about pure nourishment, just putting some form of food into the stomach.
Or water, for that matter.
Yeah, water, something to hydrate.
Nothing.
Yeah, so he was getting nothing. So he was dehydrated. And he really wasn't making much urine. The urine was getting dark.
Right.
The urine was getting dark. And, you know, it was an entire process. And but still, the fact that he held on for almost 2 weeks.
Right.
For 2 weeks. And, you know, and even when his blood pressure started going down, you know, it was... lower than his blood pressure, but it there were some point sometimes as he got towards the end where his blood pressure is what my blood pressure is. Right. And I remember telling you,
because you and I have low, we tend to have low blood pressure.
Yeah, but I remember telling you, oh, yeah, this isn't the end. Right, you know, right. Like there,
he could live. He could live a long time with that blood pressure.
There'd be these messages like, "This is it. This is it." Right. You know, but it wasn't it because he had a strong heart, and even though he had a pacemaker because he had an arrhythmia, he had the pacemaker in there that was keeping the heart beating, and you know, I think that he still had reserve there just from being a strong guy,
right.
A strong man.
Right.
I think he still had some reserve. You know, had he been a sickly kind of guy with, you know, diabetes and heart failure, you know, you name it, maybe he had cancer or something, you know, I think that possibly his reserves would have been much less. Mm-hmm. But he kept going for almost 2 weeks.
And he did thin out. I mean, he really did thin out over the course of those 2 weeks. But he did. I mean, the fact that he held on that long was just amazing. Yeah.
But his body, you know, his organs were shutting down. Mm-hmm. You know, his kidneys definitely started to shut down with, you could tell there was little production of urine. I thought it was fascinating how the microorganisms in our body started taking over. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I don't think he ever had a fever, did he?
No,
he never had a fever, but he had thrush. Mm-hmm. He had yeast. Thrush is yeast.
Candida.
He had candida,
right?
And you could see it on his tongue, mm-hmm. and I guess he was bringing up like chunks of candida, you know. And
it was at one point it would like leak out the side of his mouth, the white stuff, and so we would clean him up. You know,
and here's the thing: he wasn't getting any antibiotics. He wasn't. Right. I mean, so we are, our bodies have trillions of bacteria, mm-hmm. and microorganisms. Okay, and I believe that we have yeast within us that sometimes, depending on what we eat or medicines that we take, you know, some of this yeast can show
its
ugly head, and you can get a really active, you know, infection. Mm-hmm. You know, in women, they get vaginitis from yeast. You can get it in your mouth. It can grow in your esophagus. There's times when I do upper endoscopies, when I go in there and there's yeast, mm-hmm. in the esophagus, you know, and a lot of times that may be like in a diabetic who maybe is poorly controlled. They have these high sugars, or it could be in someone who's, or someone else who maybe has a cancer, has been getting chemotherapy, you know, they're immunosuppressed. And I have found it in people who have no risk factors. Mm-hmm. They're not immunosuppressed. And
we can see yeast when we do the nutritional blood microscopy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeast in people's
blood.
I mean,
we have yeast, but it was amazing how, as he was getting closer to the end, how he, you know, these bugs started just kind of taking over.
Right.
I'm surprised he never had a fever.
Right.
You know, I thought for sure that he would have gotten a pneumonia. You know, pneumonia is old man's the geriatric population, their best friend. I mean, and usually that's what takes him. Mm-hmm. You know, and because I know that he did get some drinks when he decided not to get a feeding tube, and that he was going to go into hospice. Mm-hmm. I think at that point the decision was made, well, let him just put whatever in his mouth.
Right.
And so he did get some liquid, and you know, I thought that possibly some of that might have gone down the windpipe,
right.
And that maybe he would have developed a pneumonia at some point, which would have, you know, we wouldn't have known because we weren't going to do anything.
Right.
But he would have probably had a fever. But he never did have a fever.
Right.
But he definitely had that yeast
that
was taking over.
And while he was in hospice, he was being given medicine, right, every so many hours, right?
What medicine?
He was giving some type of...
you're talking about the pain medicine. Yeah,
right?
I think he was being given morphine
or something, and it got more frequent the closer he got to
and that
dying,
was part of the hospice care,
right?
Like
exactly.
He wasn't getting any active medicine.
No, it was just the pain meds. But it was interesting because he would, during that time, he was like, he would go in and out, right? Like as the days progressed, he was sleeping more, mm-hmm. right, and awake less. But when he first got to hospice, he was awake quite a bit, but then he'd doze off and he was out. You couldn't even wake him. And then as he got closer to death, it was less time awake, more time out. I just think just more drugs, you know, knocking him out. But during those times, he was still very with it. When he was awake, he was very with it, yeah. You know. So anyway, you know, toward the end, I mean, we talked about some of the things that happened right, you know, toward the end, things to watch for, you know, the limbs kind of getting bluish, mm-hmm. right, because there's little oxygen, the body turning kind of a yellowish color because the liver isn't functioning properly, you know, yeah. So those are all some of the things that started happening right at the end.
That's right. And I think that ultimately, you know, because the liver's not functioning, the kidneys are shutting down, you mm-hmm. know, so he's not eliminating mm-hmm. the toxins, you know, yeah. And so you start to get that buildup mm-hmm. of the toxins in the bloodstream, and you know, and eventually he probably had electrolyte abnormalities, and you know, eventually that it's the combination of that, in addition to the fact that they're giving him morphine, mm-hmm. I mean, that just kind of put him into like a coma,
right,
so to speak, where he eventually just slipped away.
Yeah.
Very peacefully.
Right.
Very peacefully.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, I unfortunately, I did not have the privilege of being in his life for a long time, but fortunately I did have that blessing of being able to be a part of his life for the last 12 years, because mm-hmm. he's been here, what, 14 years, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I realized how, what an impact he made on so many of the grandkids, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't really know all the details of how he had such an important role, how he took care of a mm-hmm. lot of the grandkids. I didn't realize that. Yeah. And it was just it was beautiful watching all the grandkids dote on him mm-hmm. while he was there. Mm-hmm. You know,
even the people at his senior living uh-huh. center where he yeah. lived. You know, the waitresses, right? All the
right,
wait staff
right.
who all got together to come see him. Like, he just made such an impact even there.
Yeah,
and it was cool to see all of that, right? All of the impact that he made. And I always told him he made a difference.
Yeah,
whether he liked it or not,
he did. Well, and yeah. you know what? I always one thing, and I think I've mentioned this to you several times. You know, we came into the picture when I came in with Kaoni, who was, mm-hmm. how old was Kaoni? He was seven or eight mm-hmm. years old when mm-hmm. we came here to Arizona. And Grandpa was always so attentive to Kaoni mm-hmm. because he always felt bad that he was the only grandkid mm-hmm. that was in his age group
right.
at any of our family functions.
Right.
You know, most of the other kids were
all the
were
same
younger.
Age. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he was always concerned about that. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
You know, he would always ask me, you know, point to Kaoni and just be concerned that he was all over there all alone. I think Grandpa was just from what I saw, really had a special place in his heart for the kids,
yeah,
you know, his grandkids and the children, and even though he seemed a little bit, you know, rough, he seemed a little bit rough and definitely had no filter, which is awesome. It's just awesome. I love that he yeah. expressed whatever he wanted.
Absolutely.
Whatever was on his mind. Yeah. You know, he, what a sweet man, just a very, very tender, very sweetheart, very kind-hearted, and he really made an impact on so many people, and you know, in so many people's lives. And I just, you know, I feel blessed to have had the opportunity to be a part of his life, and to have been able to call him Grandpa.
It's awesome.
Yeah, what an amazing man. So, Grandpa, I know you're listening. Oh my goodness. I think I'm going to cry. Grandpa, I know that you're listening. So what the hell, Robert? You know, we miss you, but we know that you are up there with your other kids and with other family and friends up there. And just know that you did make a difference. You made a difference. You made a difference in my life. And so thank you, Grandpa. We miss you and we love you.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.